New beginnings. New beginnings are exciting. But new beginnings might cost us something. That's the title, that's the topic of today's Daily Dose. Now imagine that you're familiar with a saying that might go something like this. For anything worth having, one must pay the price. You know, there is nothing worth more than Jesus. Nothing worth more than Christ. Nothing of greater value exists in all creation or all eternity. Christ himself sums up his price or what's required to follow him with the command, love God and love others. Well, here we are. It's a new year. And God is doing new things in his church and also in your life, in my life, in our lives. He's stretching us. He's moving us forward. He's transforming us. He's taking us to new places in him. This process, it's exciting and it's eternally rewarding. But it does come with a cost. Yes, you heard it right. There is a cost associated with following Jesus and being his disciple. So what's the cost? Well, the Bible tells us that the ultimate cost is, you ready for it? Everything. The ultimate cost is everything. God demands your life. He demands your soul. Your all. But let's look at four specific costs associated with the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. Number one, if we're going to follow God into new beginnings, then we must be courageous for Christ and go where he leads us. We must have a passion to do his will, fulfill his purpose, and never stop. Never stop short of going all in and all the way. Look, if we're going to follow Jesus, we got to be courageous and we have to dare to dream again and dream big, God-sized, heaven-sized dreams and outlooks on life. So check this out. It's in Numbers chapter 14. It says this. Scripture says that that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, they even tore their clothes. And they said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So what did we just read here? We just read that there were some in the Israelite nation who were afraid, and there are others who were courageous. And as we read on, we discover that it was ultimately the courageous ones, the Joshua, the Caleb, that God allowed to enter into the new beginnings of the promised land. What happened to the others? They died in the desert. Look, if we're going to follow God into new beginnings, into all that he has for us, his people, his church, then we must be courageous for Christ and go where he leads. Number two, if we're going to follow God into new beginnings, then we must selflessly serve God and his church. After all, God has gifted us, you and me. He's gifted all of us, all of his people with talents and abilities so that we can be involved in doing his will and accomplishing his purposes. We can't just sit back and selfishly use these gifts only for our own good. Rather, we're called to employ our gifts for the benefit of the entire body of Christ, the whole church. Check it out. We're going to look in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Scripture says this, says, each of you, you're one of the each of yous, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So what are some of these gifts God has given you? And how can these gifts be used by you to build up and to serve others in the church, in the body of Christ, in Evident Life Church? Number three, if we're going to be those who are following God into new beginnings, then we must earnestly seek God and give ourselves to prayer and fasting. I just said it, prayer and fasting. We need God's grace. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace, His guidance, and His direction. We need that in our lives. And prayer and fasting, those are critical spiritual disciplines that touch the heart of God, and they deepen our relationship with Him. Jesus makes statements such as, when you pray, and he says things like, when you fast. You see, Jesus assumes that prayer and fasting are going to be part of His followers' life, His disciples' lives. They're not optional. So is prayer and fasting part of your walk with the Lord right now? Is it part of it? Is it something that you purposefully do, that you plan into your year? Let's do that this year. Finally, number four, if we're going to follow God into new beginnings, then we must live humbly before our God with pure hearts, treating one another with love, with grace, and with compassion. Look, what we say to each other and how we treat each other, it's extremely important to God. And it's extremely important to the health of His church. Check it out, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. Says this, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So hey, I'm looking forward to the new beginnings that God has for us this year. It's exciting. And let's make sure that we are involved in what God is doing, because we're actually following Him. We are with Him. We are hearing His voice. We are doing life His way. And let's be full of faith and courage, remembering that God is faithful. He's a promise-making and a promise-keeping God, and nothing is impossible with Him, and He's doing new things. Happy New Year. Here we go.